good morning. I'm fabulous. Your comments reminded me I once spent 3 days in Bar Harbor, Maine, where the fog never lifted.
Oh, my.
And couldn't see 10 feet in front of your face for 3 days, so got the heck out of there.
I've been joking this morning that I've done a couple of these shows over the last 10 years or so where our Memorial Day forecast included temperatures in the mid-60s. So I think everybody will be happy to kick off summer in the mid-80s. It might not be perfect or the average temperature we'd like, but I think this time of year we'd rather lean to the hotter side of those two if we have the choice.
Makes it good for picnics and watching and listening to the race.
Absolutely right. One of the great traditions, and we'll have it right here on WGCL. The 102nd running coming up 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, the final Sunday in May, the traditional spot for that. We had an untraditional spot in May a couple of weeks ago as Governor Eric Holcomb called a special session of the legislature back to Indianapolis. And I know you were right there front and center with one eye on everything that was happening. Just a couple questions for you. And Keith and I, who's not with us this morning, we've been arguing about this for the last couple of weeks. This magical $30,000 number that has been tossed around to get everybody back for this special session, there's a little bit more devil in the detail to that, isn't there?
Well, yeah, because for a number of years now, the General Assembly has set aside a day after the regular session ends for what they call Technical Corrections Day. And that's where a lot of times bills are being voted on and passed at the end of a session, and they may amend the same section of code. So you've got this question of, okay, which bill takes precedent, how should it be written, et cetera. Sometimes there are drafting errors. And so they've set this day aside to say if we've got things like that, particularly that are significant, that they can help clean up the code for, you know, the judges and the practicing attorneys out there, they will put that on everybody's calendar, call them back for one day to do that. And so effectively, even though this was a special session, there was a technical corrections bill in the list of bills that they dealt with on Monday the 14th. And they used what was otherwise going to be the technical corrections day. And so they really didn't spend any more money on, you know, staff salaries for the temporary staff or legislator per diems than they would have anyway for technical corrections. And the other thing to keep in mind is, $30,000 may seem like a lot to you and me, but it didn't go to any one person. It was spread across the bill drafting staff and the folks that came in for that one day, and the 150 legislators on a daily per diem. And it's a drop in the bucket compared to a $22 or $24 billion two-year state budget. So I'm pretty confident the taxpayers really didn't feel the cost of that special session.
Didn't get
to
sting.
And from our perspective, it was worth it to clean up and enact some bills that were ready to be voted on the last night of session before they ran out of time, one of which was a revenue update bill that we talked about before that will recouple our definitions of adjusted gross income to the new federal definitions of all of those changes the federal government made in December, and it will make filling out tax forms and returns for both businesses and individuals much, much simpler.
And that's part of the reason this was extended, is to make sure that was passed through so people didn't have to waste time doing two different things, correct?
Correct, absolutely.
And that's, again, this doesn't happen very often, and next year it won't either. Is that right? Because this is the long session will be next year. We'll talk about that $24 billion budget. That's what comes in next year, right?
Yes. They do a two-year budget here in Indiana, which we've often suggested the federal government should do that because they never seem to pass their one-year budget on time, if at all. I mean, we've had a number of years in a row where they just did continuing resolutions and said, we're just going to keep the same thing going and not even look at new priorities. We think that Congress would be better off doing a two-year budget as well like they do here in Indiana.
Or they just push that back to then 4 years, and then 8 years, then 16 years, then we just multiply that out. Kevin Briniger is our guest this morning. He's the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, checking in with us here on a Tuesday morning. And one of the other things coming out of the political side of Indianapolis here in the last couple of weeks, Martinsville's Rod Bray. He continues a very proud family tradition in Indiana government. Tell me all about his new job.
Well, Senator Bray from Martinsville was elected after the special session ended. There was still time that afternoon, and so the members of the majority Republican caucus got together, and they elected him to be the next president pro tempore of the Indiana Senate, i.e. the overall leader of the Indiana Senate. He will be replacing Senator David Long from Fort Wayne, who currently has served in that role, I believe, 12 years, and has announced that even though he has 2.5 more years left on his elected term, that he is going to retire from the Senate right after the election in November. And the leadership thought, for the purposes of determining who kind of controls their political action committee and who's going to kind of be the lead things over the summer, that they would go ahead and elect their leader for next legislative session. And Senator Bray was chosen, and it's quite an honor and a privilege, and it I think is a big deal to South Central Indiana. And Senator Bray's father was a longtime state representative and then state senator, and his grandfather was a congressman from that area of the state. So there's a long and proud tradition of public service in the Bray family right there in Martinsville.
Tell me how long the Senator pro tem, is that the full length of the term of the person there? Is that voted on? Tell me how that works.
It's voted on after every election. So every 2 years, they elect leadership from the majority caucuses in the House and the Senate. And typically, it's been the practice that once someone is elected to that slot, unless there's some sort of uprising, that typically they maintain that role until they retire or until they're defeated in their own district election.
So they want some stability there where it's not a revolving door?
Yeah, exactly. Now, one exception to what I just said comes to mind. After Speaker Pat Bauer led the Democrats over to Illinois for a walkout for weeks and weeks.
I forgot about that.
That didn't sell well with the public. Well, later that summer, he was ousted as the leader of that caucus after they lost the next election and lost their majority. The caucus said, you know what, you led us kind of in over a cliff. And that's when
and that cliff was Illinois.
That cliff was Illinois. And Scott Pilaf was elected to be leader of their caucus. But by then they were in the minority and out of the majority.
So it takes something, as you mentioned, to that degree to shake things up.
Yeah, kind of catastrophic.
And I think that's a good definition for that. Kevin Briniger joins us, as he does about once a month, to get caught up on what's happening on the ins and outs of business and politics in the state of Indiana. He's the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Bloomington, we're going to be busy this week and next with graduations and everything else, but once the school year ends and we wipe out May and the race is done, we've got an I-69 summit. Tell me about that and when that's happening here in Bloomington.
Yes, we've done this for several years in a row now. It's organized by Hoosier Voices for I-69, which is the longtime advocacy group.
Can you promise me this is the last time you'll ever have one?
Well, that I don't know. I mean, the work is going to go on, but I have some good news. NDOT is still saying and promising that Section 5 will finally be done in August of this year. So we'll open up this section and have limited access from south side of Bloomington to south side of Martinsville. Indicated that from there they'll start in on Section 6, which is the last section from south of Martinsville to all the way up to I-465. They're looking at, again, continuing from the south and working their way north with a subsection between the south edge of Martinsville up to about where the fish hatcheries are, if you know where that is, north of Martinsville, and have that completed by 2022. And their target for the entire project is including a new interchange at I-465. It won't connect where 37 currently connects with 465. They'll veer off about a half a mile to the west, and there'll be a whole new interchange in the year 2027 is the target. So mark your calendars. But we keep pushing to keep them on track to make sure the funding is there. And of course, we had the major transportation infrastructure funding last year that was so desperately needed after, it had been so long and technology and gas fuel efficiency had eroded the purchasing power of our state's highway funds. And we know there's lots of projects going on. I went to Prince Look this past weekend and not only ran into the I-69 work, but then I got down to Bedford and they were doing some major repaving, which was sorely needed, but it kind of slowed things down a little bit. But as you know, that's the price of progress.
It is. You're exactly right. And we're trying to progress in all of that. Do you think this project will be, the two you've hinted at there moving forward, will be as disruptive as maybe as what we saw here? So the people that commute on a daily basis will have other routes to get that way?
Well, I think once we get to finish Section 5, then, Highway 67 becomes an alternate route that really wasn't. I mean, right now you had to take 67 down to Spencer and then over, which is a lot farther out of your way than just cutting over that little strip of 39 to get across the river and go up 67 or go 65 down to, Brown County and across that way. So I think you'll have better alternative routes once Section 5 is finished and you can, and they start work on Section 6. And I think the length of time per mile will be much shorter in Section 6 than it was in Section 5 because of the difficulties that the state had with the developer that they were working with on the
you lose that whole angle just starting there. That should be better to start with. So
yeah, this is going to be a traditional NDOT managed project with contractors and subcontractors, and so it's a little bit longer stretch, but there's some right of way to occur, and we are talking about a whole new interchange up at 465, but we shouldn't see the delays and the kinds of frustrations that we saw in Section 5 that were so incredibly unfortunate and at times impactful on the city of Bloomington and Monroe County in general.
Speaking of the city of Bloomington, one of their companies was named as a top company in the small employer category and the best places to work in Indiana. Tell me about Hennepin Marketing.
Yes, great company and a great event. Best Places to Work is a program available to any employer in the state that you apply to participate in the program. There's an independent, anonymous survey of your employees with a number of questions that basically find out what they think of your culture and how good your place of employment is. And then you get that feedback as a management tool and then also able to participate in the competition to be named one of Indiana's best places to work and recognized in an awards dinner that we have usually in the first Thursday of May. It was a great event. We recognized 125 best places to work in Indiana throughout the state. And it's a really fun, exciting, energetic night as these companies are being recognized. And like I said, we had them from all over the state, including right there in Bloomington.
Kevin Brenniger is our guest this morning, CEO and president of the Chamber of Commerce for the state of Indiana. And we've been talking about the Ivy Tech in partnership with the workforce needs throughout the state. That's been going on now. This is now it's what makes it exclusive. And tell me how that's going to affect, hopefully, job. Is this for job training moving forward?
Yeah, employee training. this has to do with tuition reimbursement and trying to upgrade the skills
gotcha.
Of workers. And you know, traditionally, a tuition reimbursement program works this way. The employee makes a decision to pursue the training or the additional degree outside of the workplace, outside of the workday. They have to put up the money for the class, and then the employer will reimburse them at the end of the semester if they get a passing grade. That putting the money up front is often a deterrent to employees participating. And so the Achieve Your Degree program that Ivy Tech has put together is to say, you know, we don't want that to be the sole reason why someone doesn't upgrade their skills and get their degree and advance their career and their economic status. So we'll take the student out of the employee out of the equation, and we'll work directly with the employer and say, look, you don't have to pay us the tuition. Instead of reimbursing the employee, pay us the tuition, but we'll make the deal even better because you don't have to pay us until the employee completes the course and gets a passing grade. So now the employee isn't inhibited by the fact that they've got to come up with the tuition money up front. They don't have to worry about that at all. The relationship becomes between the employer and Ivy Tech. And under our new agreement, Indiana Chamber of Commerce members will receive a 5% discount on the cost of the courses. And we will, in turn, the Chamber is obviously promoting this program and pushing the word out of its existence. And so that's the nature of the agreement between the Chamber and Ivy Tech. And we're very excited about it because it's one way for us to contribute to this overall effort of helping employers find skilled people, helping them raise up the skills of their employees. And so it's something we're very excited about. And of course, this exists all over the state of Indiana.
And a positive development for all partners involved there. So that's a great partnership as well.
Yes, indeed.
One last quick thing before we let you get back to work here on a Tuesday morning. Indianapolis to Paris, direct flight. When does that start here in Indianapolis?
Starts, I believe, this Friday.
How did that come about, and how do you get one of those?
Well, it's a long, hard slog, I will tell you that. A lot of good work on the part of the folks at the Indianapolis Airport Authority, and a lot of support from business leaders in central Indiana to show that there will be enough utilization of those flights to make it worthwhile for the airlines, because, you know, the airlines are not charities. They're looking to cover their costs and make money, and so you've got to have enough butts in the seats, as they say.
That's right.
To get such a flight. We've been fortunate enough to have that added to San Francisco. One of the things that helps is the state legislature has appropriated money to the Indiana Economic Development Corporation that is referred to as a backstop fund, where as they're working to get this off the ground, there's kind of a guaranteed number of seats filled, and to the extent that they're not actually filled with real people, then the backstop money is used to supplement that to the airline until the ridership gets up above that level.
Oh, I got you.
So that's one way that, you know, it makes the airlines feel safer about starting a flight. But this is a Delta flight directly to Paris. Governor Holcomb is over in Europe having a number of economic development meetings. I heard announcement last night that there was an agreement, research agreement, I believe, with Slovakia. He's going to be in Switzerland. And then he's going to end up in Paris and take the first flight of this arrangement from Paris directly to Indianapolis as the way to come back to Indiana from this economic development mission.
Very cool.
So it's pretty exciting.
Very cool. Hey, it was exciting talking to you this morning. We thank you for your time, and we'll get caught up in June after the little summit there and get a report on that. How's that sound?
That sounds great. It's always a pleasure to visit with you and your listeners. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it as well. We'll talk soon.
Take care.